Beloved radio friends, we greet you in the ever-precious name of the Lord Jesus. We welcome you once again to the broadcast of God's precious and His holy word. Our blessed theme concerns the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We rejoice with great joy and with eager anticipation that our beloved Savior, who came once into this world to save us, is again coming to this world, not to save, but, oh, to be the judge of all mankind, and to bring in everlasting righteousness by the glory of His own kingdom. But, oh, what a message we have to bring as we thus present the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ in relation to His second appearing. 'Tis been our joy and privilege, and solemn also, to speak of the one who is coming to be the judge of all the earth. May I record the words of the Lord Jesus, spoken in John 5:22-27, when He spoke to say, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." And again in verse 27, "God hath given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man." It is with authority from the Word of God we present the coming again of our Lord Jesus as being in characteristic not the appearing of a Savior, but the appearing of a King and the appearing of a great Judge. Now we would like to be very careful and specific on the basis of the precious Word of God regarding the future judgments that are yet to be manifested. Let me but very briefly outline that from the Word of God we have set before us, with a careful study of it, that there are at least four future judgments that differ as to time, place, the subjects who will be judged, the basis of the judgments, and even somewhat in regard to the results. Can I repeat it again? There are at least four future judgments, and they differ as to time, they differ as to place, they differ as to subjects, they differ regarding the basis of the judgment, and even as to the results. Now, there is a conception and a misconceived thought, and sometimes it's propagated and preached, that there will be one great general judgment when all of mankind from the beginning to the end will stand before the throne of God to be judged. That is not according to the Scripture. Please let me but very briefly, and by the will of God we shall take them up in detail further, as God permits, but let me very briefly suggest these four future judgments that you and I may recognize distinctly differ regarding the time, the place, the subjects, the basis of the judgment, and also the results. First of all, and this will be one we shall consider soon, separately and in detail, there is the judgment seat of Christ. You have in two scriptures, Romans 14:10-12, 2 Corinthians 5:10, the definite statement that is directed only, now get my message, it is directed only and written only to the believers in our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul writing to say in 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." In Romans 14, and in the context of verse 10, he declares again, "For we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Please let me state, and the detail of it, and the exposition of it will be given later, this is a judgment or a divine appraisal by the Lord Jesus Christ the Judge of His redeemed people who will stand before Him to have their life upon the earth appraised in view of His pleasure, His reward, or even His disapproval. But then there is a second judgment, differing regarding the time, the place, the subjects, the basis of the judgment, together with the results. I can only commend to you the reading of Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 through 46, a judgment that in the will of God we shall take up in detail also later. We can call it the judgment of the living nations. The very plain reading of the account tells that it will take place upon the earth when the Lord Jesus sets up his earthly throne of glory, when all the nations will be judged as to which will have their place of blessing or not in the glory of his earthly kingdom. Now there is another great judgment, perhaps more vast in scope and size, which you find in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, and it is called the judgment of the great white throne. That will be the last judgment, the last of size of judgment that the Lord Jesus will manifest and make. And a solemn reality concerning that judgment is all the unsaved dead from the beginning to the end of life, from the beginning to the end of time, will be standing before him for their eternal sentence of divine banishment. Now there is a fourth judgment, very little said of it. We cannot even place it accurately regarding time and place, but we do know the subjects. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 3, the beloved apostle Paul writes, "To the believers, know ye not that ye shall judge angels?" With the indication and the supposition that there will be a judgment of angels, not of holy angels without question of doubt, that would never be needed. Holy angels do the bidding of God. They are faithful to his command. But there are many unholy angels, Satan and all of his hosts, and may I say the angelic hosts that have rebelled against God and against his throne in obedience to Satan, they will stand in the day of judgment. But may I remind my listener again, forget not the scripture saying that even the believers of this present generation, this present time, this present age, will participate in the judgment of that body of unholy angels who will meet their eternal doom. Now we would like to begin particularly in view of our study concerning the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in view of what we have already touched upon in relation to his coming for his saints, what joy it is to realize before he ever comes with his saints, he must and he will come for them. And we have touched upon that blessed event, often called the rapture of the saints, detailed as we have noted it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, as well as in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now shall we look at the judgment seat of Christ in particular? First of all, as we consider the judgment seat of Christ, of which we have said we shall all be there who are believers, let us consider the time of that judgment. Paul, writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5, has written, "To say, therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come." Can I repeat it again? Paul was particularly dealing with the problem of the Corinthian believers passing judgment upon their fellow believers. And Paul is stating, judge nothing before the time. And when is the time when the believers will be judged and appraised for their life? When the Lord comes. So let us recognize the time of the judgment will certainly take place at the coming of the Lord for his saints. Let me quote again the words of the dear Apostle Paul written in Romans 14 and verse 4, where again he challenges the believers who would judge one another. "Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth." My beloved, I'm sure that you will realize with me, and I speak directly to my fellow believers, you will realize with me that every one of us, we stand or fall before only one master. Did not the Lord Jesus say one on the earth to his disciples, "One is your master, and all ye are brethren"? So that we must and we do acknowledge, the word of God says, we are no other man's servant. We are one master's servant. And to our own master, my fellow believer, let you and I take the truth in. To the one master, even our Savior, we shall stand or fall, meaning be appraised for good or bad, for approval or disapproval, when we come before him to be thus appraised in the day of judgment. We would also make mention of another scripture which the Lord Jesus spoke. The last words you may find, practically the last, in the book of the Revelation, chapter 22 and verse 12, relative to his coming again, and particularly in view of coming for his servants. "Behold," he says, "I come quickly. My reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." Once again, my beloved fellow believer, may you and I recognize and deeply realize, as we should, when the Lord comes again for his people, as declared in the verse that we have quoted, he is bringing his reward with him. Which I suggest to you will be that when he gathers us together and we need him in the air, very soon following that great event, we shall be brought before him to receive whatever reward or whatever disapproval that may be given to us according to what our works have been. Let me please emphasize, and I must, it is a judgment seat that is not for the basis of knowing if we are saved, but it is a judgment seat and the time of it when each believer will be appraised as to what reward or what loss of reward may be his or hers at the coming again of our Savior. My beloved believer, let me set before you that the coming of the Lord is going to be the time when your life, when my life as a believer, will be appraised by him and revealing what kind of works, whether good, whether bad, we have done for him. Oh, may we live with eternity's value in view. Beloved and blessed Father, speak to the hearts of we who are thy people, and may the Holy Spirit sanctify the truth for thy glory to each of us, in Jesus' name. Amen.